Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this act, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this act, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
All people at home!
What's up with that?
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Let's get it out.
Move to the music, play music, move it to the music.
Welcome to Monday Night Rollins.
Woo!
Yo ho ho and a bottle of Dom.
Bro.
The new day.
Let me talk to you.
If I can be serious for a minute.
For the love of God, stay away from the different dogs.
Move to the music, play the music, move it to the music, yeah.
Acknowledge me.
Gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney. I am the artist formerly known as Pizza Funny, and I am joined, as always, by the man, the myth, the legend, the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. It's him. It is him. It's an architect and a scientist. It's DBP.
Fresh off Bash at Berlin and ready for an NFL season to start, PC?
Yeah. If you haven't already, go back a show or two in the chronological order of Chair Shot Radio Network on all your favorite streaming platforms and right there on thechairshot.com. And check out Chair Shot NFL. Andrew Blaz and myself get you ready for the entire week. We got our locks of the week, and we got our top and bottom five power rankings heading into week one of the NFL season. So check it out.
Exciting. Very exciting.
We had our draft last night.
We had our draft as we record here late
Thursday afternoon. I said to you off air, I said you had a nice draft, and you kind of you were surprised that I said that to you, kind of.
Oh, kind of. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I liked a couple of the guys that I got, but
well, that's always,
I feel like my bench is a little lacking.
Oh.
But
I feel like I hit a home run. I don't know about you, but I like my depth at every position. I wish I could have grabbed Caleb Williams as having another young quarterback, but I felt pretty good. DJ Moore fell to me. I was able to take Dalton Kincaid. I got Jaden Reed and Christian Watson. Obviously, Kyren Williams to go with Pacheco and McCaffrey. And then I got J.K. Dobbins, and late in the draft, I picked up McCaffrey's backup. So that made me feel real good.
Yeah, it's always nice to have the backup, especially for McCaffrey, who's it gets a little banged up once in a while there. So it's always nice to have. And having three deep at running back is pretty solid, especially when we start to and have the flex. That's always a big thing. I do not really have the depth at running back that I wanted to have, but that's kind of what happened. There wasn't a lot on the board because we have keepers. So, you know, a lot of people kept a lot of running backs, so there wasn't a lot on the board. And by the time it got back around, it was like, yeah, there's not really that many great running backs left. So started to load up on receivers and everything else, you know, just whatever the best available was. So,
hey, there's always those couple few pickups that are season shifting for guys, you know. I mean, the general's a very good fantasy football player, always has been, but he'd probably even tell you if he didn't get Kyren Williams, he might not have won the championship last year. Just somebody to put you over the top with some consistency. So, anyway, enough about our fantasy football league. Hope all of you are enjoying your fantasy football leagues, and don't forget about ChairShot NFL. Before we go, DP, before we go to commercial, that is, why don't we tell everybody what's happening this week on the 447th edition of the podcast known as DWI.
Well, we're waiting.
And I'm not sure what we're talking about today. Sheet.
We're talking a little Bash in Berlin review. Trivia is hopefully on its way. We'll find out more about that later.
See if you got off on the wrong at the right stop.
I took a wrong turn in Albuquerque.
It's the worst place to make the wrong turn.
Yeah.
End up in Scotland.
And a last call, we're going to dig into some notes from Monday Night Raw, namely Joe Tessitore's debut, the continuation of the Punk McIntyre feud. We officially have the four-way set for the IC number one contender fatal four-way match. And are we looking at Gunther's next opponent possibly be the man? The only man that's beaten him in WWE, Sami Zayn. So all that and more on the 447th edition right here of the DWI podcast. And don't forget about ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot, folks. Pick yourself up a ChairShot t-shirt. Plenty of great designs. Makes a great gift as well. Get it in a hoodie. Get it in a long sleeve. Get it in a tank top. Or just get it in that soft style t-shirt. That's ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. We'll be right back.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, DWI 447, PC Tunney, and DPP with you. As we do our Bash in Berlin review, for those of you who are lucky to have listened to it, DJ and I, we're going to try and keep the tradition going. We've officially named it. It's the ChairShot.com Presents. And it's just we're going to have WWE, post-WWE PLE instant reactions with myself, DJ, and friends is the official title. So all friends that are coherent enough to jump on after they've watched it hopefully will be joining us in the future. So make sure you're checking that out on ChairShot Radio Network and thechairshot.com. DP, what were your overall thoughts of Bash in Berlin? I know Brother Joe came over for that one.
He did. Brother Joe came over, just hung out, watched the show for a couple hours. It was real nice. Good afternoon. I think he really liked it. I liked it as well. I thought it was pretty solid. A lot of good matches. I kind of wish there would have been six matches. It felt like there was a lot of stuff dragged on a little bit too much. But otherwise, I thought match-wise pretty solid. 1-5. I think we started off really hot with probably the match of the night. I think a lot of people kind of picked Rhodes and KO to probably have that, and it was really solid. I was great opener to do, and yeah, I thought it was really good.
Yeah, let's see. DJ had it. Cody and KO, it was his worst match of the night.
Oh man, what? That was the best match of the night.
That was a
great match.
So we rated our best and worst matches of the night, DJ and I did, out of 100, and we rated the PLE. So if that was your best match of the night out of 100, what would you say?
Out of 100?
Yeah.
Jeez. We have to 85?
Okay, and then your worst match of the night?
I'm going to say the one right after that, the women's tag match.
And what would you rate that?
I'd probably give that like a 60.
Okay.
Give that a 60.
Yeah, DJ's best match was Gunther and Orton. He had it at 85. Worst, Cody and KO at a 65. He rated the PLE at a 75. I had Punk and Drew at an 80. The Terror Twins and Dom and Liv at a 65. Overall, I had this thing at a 74.
Okay. I like the Punk and McIntyre match. Some of it was a little like,
but that's
tough for me with the whole touching the corners. As far as a strap match goes, like they could just make it a regular pinfall match.
And they've done that in other variations, like a cowbell match with the bull rope match or whatever. You know, I mean, I did like the setup they had with the automatic light and everything like that. And I don't know. I thought they executed it well. We can start there. We can start right in the middle with that match. We're going to talk more about what happened on Monday, but for now, let's stick at Bash in Berlin. Punk gets his first win, gets the bracelet back. We called it, right? I mean, we are all pretty much said that was going to happen.
Yeah, I think we all were on board with that. You know, with the way they do that match with it touching the corners, you know, it kind of saves a pinfall as well. Like, he still doesn't get the pinfall on Drew McIntyre yet, which they may save, you know, for later or whatever. But sometimes it makes that a little awkward. I just, like when they try and explain the rules to that, where like, oh, you have to touch them in succession, then physical contact is supposed to reset it. And yet they kind of played that loosely. So
it's like
it makes it a little,
it's like,
you know,
pass,
okay,
interference.
Fine.
It's like pass interference.
Right. But I thought they did a really good job with the match. I mean, you know, the physicality of that match, there was a little blood, but I'm pretty sure that was accidental. That wasn't really meant to happen. So they didn't really, you know, stress on it too much. But like everything we thought it was going to be, you know, real physical match, real brutal. At the end, Punk, after the third one or after the fourth one, after he touched all the corners, ends up pulling the bracelet off, gets it back. The world is happy once again. Punk and the bracelet are reunited. Thank the good Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, AJ Balazs is here!
No, that's fair.
I stopped paying the studio audience. That's what happens.
No, that's fair. Blame the Utah train system for me being late here.
We have just begun our Bash in Berlin review, my friend, and we decided to start right in the middle with CM Punk and Drew McIntyre, specifically just sticking with what happened at Bash in Berlin. How'd you like the match and the overall effects of the match?
I mean, I certainly like the match where, you know, we don't really get strap matches much anymore. Even my dogs are even talking about it. We don't get strap matches anymore.
Ooh, let the dogs out.
Yeah, probably someone's just walking by with their... someone's probably just walking by. But, no, we don't get strap matches anymore. I'm happy that the physicality was actually there. You know, they, like Dan said before, when I popped in. There was blood in it. So I am happy to see that this entire thing got resolved. I am happy that we have a third match because Raw happened and the bracelet got destroyed.
Right. Thanks for keeping it specifically at what happened at Bash and
Berlin. No problem.
Yeah. Well, good job.
But no, it was still a great match.
Way to
match.
Maintain
I'm not
your
denying
C-minus grade point average.
Hey, I got to catch up somehow, right?
You're not
Utah education system, maybe with the transit system.
You're not catching up. You're jumping ahead.
Well, I was late, so that's why. Jumping ahead, so that way I'm catching up. No, that's entirely on me. But that match was a great match. The physicality of it, you know, we didn't just get, you know, let's just use the strap for everything else. It was, we had the strap as a weapon. We had a strap being used for, you know, touching the pillars and everything else, especially Punk trying to weasel one with Drew Fireman carrying and tagging everything. But Punk tags it right after, tries to make that comeback. It was a great match. I'm not going to deny it. Everything that you need for a strap match happened, and it worked out beautifully.
No, the short answer for me is I like the way they used the strap match and the things they used to let you know that we were still going for the grand slam of corners, you know. So it was fun. I enjoyed it. I thought it was the match of the night. Let's put a pin in that for right now because, yeah, something on Raw really cool did happen. I thought it was a good thing. Let's go back to the beginning. Dan has this match of the night. DJ, after the show, was... And he gave it a 65, so that's like giving it a 6.5. That's not like the worst fucking grade for a match, right? Like, we both enjoyed the show. But it's funny. Dan's match of the night is Cody versus KO, not DJ's worst match of the night. I really enjoyed it. You talked about only having 5 matches, Dan, and I don't mind that because I know we're going to get these, you know, amazingly produced, you know, vignette storyline packages leading into every match because they're on a pay-per-view or PLE. But they're giving these matches time. I mean, like, this got 23-plus minutes. The women got 12. Punk and Drew were just short of 20. The mixed tag got more than 14. And they gave Gunther and Randy more than a half an hour. I mean, I'm completely okay with that. Like, this is the place where you want to say that the wrestling is better in other places. This is where this is the actual wrestling part here.
I
know that's not what you're complaining about.
The time they got, totally fine. Yeah. It's still, what are we counting, under 2 hours? Or a 3-hour pay-per-view? Like, you could fit another match in there, man. Like, for real. Totally could. And still get your vignettes. And be totally fine. You know, they easily could do that and easily put one more match in there.
It's under,
still get the job across.
It's under,
there's a lot of stuff in between.
It's a lot. It's
under 2 hours, isn't it?
It's under an hour 45 of bell-to-bell action. But that's a fucking... but that's a lot.
What's the stand? I mean, what was it before? My brain sucks. But, like, you know, 3-hour pay-per-views before, I mean, there had to have been more than that for wrestling time. I mean, there's not a lot of...
There was usually a match that got cut short, though. That's what happened usually, where it's...
I like the letting these breathe, though. Like, they're not just stacked right on, like, oh, there's the pinfall, and let's scoot them out of the ring, and, you know, you're a mid-card or undercard. Let's move on to the next one. Like, I get what you're saying. They could have had one more match. Yes, they very much could have had one more match. But they're not doing that. They're putting only 5 on these, you know. It's probably bad blood will be the same way. Unless they throw you one on the pre-show that's 2 hours now. And stop complaining about the 2-hour pre-show, folks. Do you know what? Bash in Berlin in Central Standard Time started at noon. Guess what time I turned on the cock? 12:52. The 8-minute pre-show was fucking awesome.
There's no need to ever complain about a pre-show. They can make it 20 hours as far as you care. Yeah. Here's what you don't have to do. Turn it on.
It's the pre-show for a reason. Usually when the match happens, it's usually around the last 30 minutes if there's going to be a match on a pre-show.
Yeah. Okay, back to the card. Sorry, I went off on a little tangent. Dan, your thoughts on Cody versus KO. Cody retains. KO does not turn.
Which, good.
Yeah.
We didn't need the most predictable thing in the world happen. Like, the whole joke was KO betrays every single person that he gets into a ring with that he's friends with. We don't need the most predictable thing in the goddamn world. I like the fact that they threw that red herring where it's like, exhibit, I think they went all the way to like F or H, where it's like, KO betrays his friends. Here's seven reasons as to how he betrayed his friends. They even added Chris goddamn Jericho.
Do you remember what I wrote on this board, Dan, last week when we did our preview show with Dave? Red herring.
Kevin doesn't turn. Red herring. Oh, yeah, red herring.
See, you're welcome. I wasn't even there last week and red herring. It's perfect because that's what it was. Where it was a good match between the two, and you didn't need to have any sort of bullshit of KO turning or, you know, someone just randomly running in because, you know, they have beef with one of them. So it worked.
That's not to say it's not going to happen either, because him and when was yelling at him, like, why don't you get angry, get aggressive or whatever, what happened to you? And he turns to Barrett. Was it Barrett? And says, shut the hell up.
Yeah, I forget. Yeah, it was. I think it was. Yeah.
And they all, the tease of the hard tease of Cody, you know, tweaking the knee again, and AO's going to go kick it and then decides, nah, he's not going to do it. That's fun. You know, and then, yeah, it's not to say like that may come back in the future here down a little further down the road, but I thought they played that one really, really well. And just had a solid match. You knew KO was not winning the match, but they still put on a really good match.
All I asked for was them to not have it be a completely muddled match with a whole bunch of people interfering, give them enough time to let them have their good match. And they did, and they got it. So a little bit of, you know, WWE remains to be somewhat chalk, but like, that's where you get storylines, and, you know, you get long-term booking with, you know, long-term storylines. Speaking of booking, speaking of me booking by Tunney, I believe I convinced Dan into the title change last week from the beginning until the end of the show. And I said, you got to capitalize on Bianca and Jade while they're a tag team still, and still have them build more tag teams in the division. And hopefully they come back around with these two. I know Fire and Dawn we're not going to talk about, but they did beat Damage Control on Monday Night Raw, so they're probably working their way back at a rematch, which is a great thing. But congrats to Jade and Bianca, and Jade looked really good in this match, Dan. I couldn't sit and nitpick anything, even if I wanted to, and I don't.
Yeah, really solid this time from her. You know, some of the stuff before, you know, maybe, you know, just accidents slip here and there or whatever, but I thought everything there felt really good. There wasn't an awkward ending. There wasn't anything to, yeah, really complain about as far as the match goes. Like, it wasn't necessarily a great match overall, but work-wise, like, but there was nothing that people fucked up or anything like that. I think it's awesome that they won the titles, like we talked about last week. Changed my tune at the end of the show there that this was going to happen. I think we're leading towards, you know, something between these groups that would be really nice. I think we talked about maybe War Games with potentially Belair, Cargill, Naomi, somebody versus maybe these two and somebody else or something like that to get them all together. But I'm still hopeful that this continues to maybe build more tag teams, get this division meaningful, have a long-term tag champions that defend the titles and are strong team. And Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill can be that. So I'm looking forward to the next couple months with this and hoping that, yeah, between the Unholy Union, Damage Control, whoever you want to throw in there, put some good teams together and let's make it a good tag division.
DeVille's three-way?
Yeah.
I'm more upset that's not the tag team name. I'm now more upset that that's not the tag team name.
That's from another episode. That's another episode you missed. That's from
probably.
No, it is. I'm telling you.
I don't even know what it's called now, but I just remember I hate it.
Pure Fusion Collective.
Yeah, like I said, I hate it. But for this match, at least,
six
like
episodes. Look at the title.
Nice. But I mean, like you said, this match, it wasn't an entire botch fest. There might have been some things that, you know, may look a little sloppy with Jade, but she's actually progressing. She's actually learning. She doesn't have to, you know, she's the surprise and the wow factor. So let's stick her to what she can do. And that's exactly what they did in this match. I'm happy that they got the tag titles back, where I don't know if it's just me or does it seem like every show needs at least one title to change over?
Not every show.
It feels like it. At least one needs to change. And so I think that's why they kind of put this match together. But I'm not complaining, because this was actually a pretty good match, all things considered. And yeah, we can have Bianca and Jade hold this for a while, maybe until the Rumble or Elimination Chamber or somewhere down the line, like around there, because I know everyone wants that WrestleMania match for 41 with the two, or most people, I should say. Unholy Union can be that good heel team that's going through Damage Control's kind of that new tweener, leaning more towards the good side. Like, they're more faces than that, but you have Damage Control, Unholy Union, the new tag team champions, and DeVille's three-way, because I refuse to call them anything else now that I've heard that. And it just, like, you have four tag teams that could work. Why are we not trying to make more programs with more people here? We could throw in some people from NXT to do this tag team stuff, but you know, you have Candice and Indy still on SmackDown. You have Piper and Chelsea Green, because I can't do it justice by saying it the way Samantha Irvin says it. So we have some female tag teams that can make this division shine and actually look competitive, other than hot potato around certain people and then either have a long reign or a short reign and et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, they're doing a good job right now. I mean, what they've put out in the last year or so, I'm okay with. It's just you got to continue to build these teams and keep them in the division. You can't just keep bouncing them back and forth. The storyline thing, though, is the thing. They don't really get a ton of time on television, and it needs to be like two segments on Raw and one on SmackDown, at least, just for the tag team division, right? Like, I don't know, but if you're a women's tag team and you have the titles, you need to be showing up to both TV shows, period. Like, that's how you're gonna get it out there, is the consistency of people going, oh, what is there gonna have another great promo this night, or are they gonna have another cool match in some way, right? Anyway, let's keep it moving, but we're gonna go over to the mixed tag here, a little bit different, the in between division that WWE hasn't really seen much of in the past. I thought this match was fine. I just, it wasn't great for me. I think I still gave it a 6, a 60. I gave it a 65. Like, I gave it a 6.5. It just wasn't, maybe I wasn't really looking forward to it. But what'd you think, AJ?
I mean, I liked the match, all things considered, especially, like, story-wise and everything. You have Liv and Dom being the cowardly heels that don't want to get into the ring at all, because let's face it, Dom doesn't want to face Damian, and Dom doesn't want to face Rhea, and Liv is just not going to want to touch anything to do with it. So I enjoyed it for the story. Wrestling wise, we knew Judgment Day was going to get involved, which Damian took care of that pretty handily and everything going forward. So like you said, Tony, it was a fine match. Like, we didn't really expect much. We expected cowardly heels versus triumphant dominant faces and some interference in between. So for what it's worth, it was a good match. You know, had 14 plus, like 14 and change minutes into the match, so it worked out for what it needed to. And you know, it looks like we're getting a program moving forward, but hey, it was a match. It was there. We knew it was going to happen and how it was going to play out. That's kind of what I have to say about that match.
Yeah, I think it was exactly what we expected to get. I mean, we saw Priest and Rhea look dominant against them. Dom and Liv just basically, being the heels, cowardly, not wanting to get involved. Rhea got the opportunity to get her hands on Dom for, you know, a brief period that got a huge pop. You know, crowd loved that. That was exactly what they wanted to get. That was the big part of the match. We knew Judgment Day was going to get involved. It's kind of funny to watch Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley literally look like giants against every member of the Judgment Day who's less than 6 feet tall. Like, that was ridiculous. And
I mean, if you stand JD McDonagh on his head, maybe.
Maybe. Put two of them together and put a trench coat around them. Call it a day. And I'll take the props on this one. I called Rhea Ripley getting the pinfall on Liv to continue that and get the next title match going. So there you go. I think, it was like you guys said, you know, it was a fine match. It was exactly what we were going to get.
There's one thing that I have an issue with where it's not really an issue. It's just my own personal gripe. Since Damian uses the razor's edge, I just want to see Rhea do a jackknife. Have Big Mommy Cool in Damian doing the razor edge. Oh, come on. She would be called Big Mommy Cool. You know that. Don't even.
I did love the finish of that match, though. Really loved the finish.
Everyone loves the finish of Rhea's matches. Try again.
That one in particular I thoroughly enjoyed. Gunther put on another fantastic wrestling match against Randy Orton. Who would have thunk that those two would put on an amazing wrestling match? I enjoyed the shit out of it. I just really wanted Randy to win. That would have been great. But we'll see. We'll see. I did like the handshake afterwards. But that was just a European show of class, and we'll get to the rest of it shortly here after trivia. But DP, how'd you enjoy the match?
I thought it was good. I thought a lot of it was slow. I know by design, you know, Randy Orton's a methodical wrestler. Gunther's more of a methodical wrestler. But it felt like there was a lot of downtime in this. I love the beginning, Randy Orton getting into it with the crowd doing, I was like, when they started doing the wave and I'm like, oh, do the wave with him. And then he did it. I was like, that was fucking awesome. Like, that was really cool. Match wise, I mean, it was a great, like, physical wrestling match. Gunther, I thought, you know, did an okay job. Like, it kind of felt like Gunther, when he was selling the arm injury, kept using it and would get pain from it. And I was like, okay, once in a while he would switch to try and use the left arm. Like, why not? He should have done it more, I felt like, and like really sold the injury a little more. If I have to nitpick the match, which is probably why it wasn't my number one match of the night. But I mean, yeah, you're going to get this kind of match from Randy Orton. It's going to be really good. He's going to make you look great. And I liked it. I did like the handshake at the end, you know, the little bit of the, you know, yep, you got it. You know, you're good. You know, I give you my blessing as you can be a champion. You're up at that level, which is what I think we were going to get from this match anyway, was to show like Gunther's at that level. He is good. He can put on good matches in the ring. So, for that, yeah, it was a solid match.
Yeah, I mean, I really couldn't complain if the strap match wasn't up there in my standings, because that would be my match of the night. The Gunther and Randy match, I would dock points because of that whole arm injury and still using said arm, where, yeah, we know that Gunther's more of the strong, hard-hitting person where he'll just ignore the pain, quote-unquote, but everyone has a limitation. Come on, let's try again here. But I love the slow pace, technical, methodic type of wrestling, which a lot of people in Europe enjoy. I mean, a lot of people like the catch wrestling, and that's what you got a lot of, where it was slow, it was methodical. You know, we had some fun, you know, like you said, Randy doing the wave, which, yes, that also popped me, I'm not going to lie. But the fact that, you know, that entire match went on 34 minutes, and it was just a technical masterpiece between the two of them, and Gunther coming out on top with the sleeper, winning, and you just get, like you said, we had the handshake where Randy's like, you're good enough to be the champion, which we all said as soon as he was going to lose the Intercontinental Championship, he was going to become that good of a world champion. So just having Randy Orton kind of agree to it, perfect.
My one spot of the match was the Gunther went for the powerbomb, and I asked DJ right off the bat, I was like, I wonder if that was intentional or not, because then they came back and they went for the RKO and they got it. But I don't think it was, because if it was intentional, Gunther would have been trying to pull away from the RKO, but it looked like he was hovering because Randy just called it to cover up the fuck up. But that was my own one spot in that match where I was just like wondering what exactly did happen there. But yeah, overall, great match, very rewatchable match, good match for a lot of up-and-coming guys that are like more powerful but still have that agility to take notes on. So overall, very fun pay-per-view, another in the long line of really good pay-per-views, excluding Not So Money in the Bank this year. So we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, it's trivia time. DWI 447 right here, Chairshot Radio Network.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
You know you love it, and you probably missed it last week. It's trivia, as always. And since we have an oldie pay-per-view coming back after,
oh, fuck,
what is it, 17 years, something like that?
I should have studied.
17, I think 20 actually years. We got bad blood on the horizon. This is going to be the only bad blood trivia I'm going to do, because we're revving up to it. We're going to get amped to it. So I got the traditional three questions. If there's a tiebreaker, I guess you both win. I don't care. But
oh, blood trivia.
And some blood trivia. I like that one. And so just because Dan came up with that one, door number one, two, or three, Dan.
Here comes, let's go number one.
All right, this might be a little bit... God damn it.
Waiting for you to start talking.
All right, this might be a little bit of a trick question for you guys, but when was the first Bad Blood pay-per-view? So what year was it? And I'll do closest. Not closest without going over. Closest.
I think you should have to know it or you're not going to fucking get the point.
All right, fine.
You guys study it. This is a trick question.
Well, I can tell you what year it's not in. Because I haven't seen one of them fucking yet. And we're in 90-fucking-4. So it's after 94. That's close.
You can put that.
Right? Yeah, sure, put 94.
Right, Cliff Clavin, I think you can do that, right? We're three people who have never been in my kitchen. Still correct.
Tony says 98. Dan says 97. Dan gets the point. Because the first one.
First he takes my quarterback. Now he's fucking. Now I was saving that. I've been waiting for that all fucking show to pop you with that one. Dan's like, then you should have kept him.
Because the first one was an In Your House. In Your House 1997 Bad
Blood. Second
one
was when Austin beat Kane for the title in 98, I think. Oh shit, did I ruin the next question?
No, you didn't.
Okay, good.
Tony, the deuce or the tree?
Yeah, I'll drop it. I'll drop it. Sure. I like being light. You're always lighter after you shit.
Sure.
It's a fact. It's science.
Science.
And hopefully this tradition goes on. What is the match type that has main evented every single Bad Blood pay-per-view?
Really hard to catch up, asshole.
Yeah, no problem. Do we even need the music? Seems like you both got it. And hopefully they keep the tradition for this year, the match
Bad
type
blood
that...
match.
Fast blood? Is that what that says?
I was joking. First blood.
Oh, first blood. Tony says first blood. Dan says hell in a cell.
Is it hell in a
Dan
cell?
Dan is correct.
This is almost like the King of the Ring thing. This is really unfair.
I mean, I asked one King of the Ring question, and you gave me the
you
winner and
the
fucking
table,
runner
baby.
Up right away.
That was impressive.
It was impressive. I'm not going to lie.
This is very unimpressive. Fuck off.
All right. So the last one.
It's really bad. It's really bad podcasting when you wait for it.
There's only one wrestler to have a match at the three Bad Blood pay-per-views that happened. Who was that one wrestler that always had a match at the Bad Blood pay-per-view? That one might not be as easy for Dan.
It's not as easy, but yes.
So there's there's two wrestlers that have been in every single one, but not in a match. There's only one that's been in a match for everyone. So Dan says
he
Trips.
Was in two of the main events. So I'm guessing I'm just going to take a shot at that. E?
Oh, it's gotta be Kane. So Kane technically was just a surprise that came out in the Bad Blood 97. See, he wasn't in a match. He just was part of it, technically, without anyone knowing. The person that has been in every match for Bad Blood, he main evented two of them. Like you said, Dan, you got the wrong DX member. It was Shawn Michaels.
Oh, too bad.
Eat a dick. I still win.
Yeah, you don't sweep, though, bitch. True. No
you
sweep.
You didn't run the table, but you still won.
Congratulations! Here's 1,000 points on a show where the points don't fucking matter. Welcome to the DWI Last Call Lounge, where George Thorogood and the Destroyers are always playing.
Always.
Gentlemen, we got some news and notes from Raw. Joe Tessitore made his debut. I absolutely love Joe Tessitore. I think he is only going to get better, and I thought he had a great first night. He seems comfortable. He seems like he's well-rehearsed. And obviously, Michael Cole is trying to lend as much of a helping hand as he needs or wants. I actually, now hearing him with Wade Barrett, I don't mind it, right? Because I feel like when McAfee comes back, Graves is going to go back over with those two for that short period of time, right? So they just have another great guy on commentary that is so damn legit. There's so much legitimacy that comes with Joe Tessitore. It's phenomenal. And he has the right energy. And he is smart enough to be able to go out there and sound like a wrestling commentator. He didn't sound like an outsider. And that was night one. So that's what I took away from the first night, DP.
Yeah, you mentioned the energy. I thought there was some times where the energy didn't line up for me a little bit. Where he could have put a little more of a different cadence into his calls. If I had to critique something, but that's minimal. And being that it was his first time, I was kind of interested that the new season of, quote, the new season of Raw starts like next week. Like, I would have thought they would have waited for that, but whatever. I thought he was awesome. I was super excited for that, for him.
It's sweeps, I guess.
Maybe. Supermarket Sweeps? That was a great show.
Great show. What was the host's name? I can picture him. He had like that helmet gray hair.
Oh, man.
He always wore like the pastel sweater. Sweatshirt. It was a sweatshirt with a collar underneath it. Like he wore the fucking... he had the pleated fucking khakis. Cheesy fucking smile. Was it Blink Fartendale?
I don't know. Peter Tamarkin, maybe? That was Press Your Luck. But yeah, he's really great. He's been a wrestling fan for a long time too, all his life. And the fact that he hit great spots when he needed to, when certain things happened, where I think we're going to talk about a little more, I don't want to ruin. And he knew, he called out moves that happened. He used terminology that I was like, wow, he actually was using terminology and hitting them and calling things really, really well for the first time. Obviously, he's got a long history of being a commentator or whatever, but still coming into a different environment that you've never seen him in before, you know, when it comes to wrestling. But the fact that he knows it, obviously he's been a fan, is a huge help. And he nailed it, man. He knocked it out of the park. I'm super excited. I hope they keep him around for a long time because, man, he can just only get better from here.
David Ruprecht.
Yeah, I looked it up too. And I'm like, let me cut it.
Johnny Gilbert was the announcer. What about
he announced everything?
Was Ruprecht the host of Stop Till You Drop? I like that show where they had to run up and down the mall and everything and get the different prizes. That man, now I gotta check that out. AJ, what do you think of Joe Tessitore?
I mean, Tessitore did a damn good job on his first night. I'm not even gonna complain. Like, yeah, there were some things where it kind of. It was like a fart in church where it's like, you need to bring a little bit more here where this kind of sounds off-putting. We need to do this. But he did a damn good job. I have no problems with it. I think my favorite moment was it was something between him and Wade where it was like, yeah, I think it was with Dominic where it was like, yeah, look around, Joe. You know, they love Dom and everything. And he actually looks around and he's like, yeah, I'm not seeing what you're saying here, Wade. That did pop me, where I'm just like, he's getting a good crash course into it, and he's doing a damn good job with it.
No doubt. All right, Punk and McIntyre, gentlemen, we get Punk come out to the crowd, and it looks like we're moving away from this rivalry for a little bit, and Punk is ready to challenge Gunther to a World Heavyweight Championship match, but no, we get an attack from Drew McIntyre on CM Punk. Beats him down, then it re-attacks him after he's stretchered out in the parking lot before he gets taken away in supposedly an ambulance. They cut away from that before it happened. Also fed the bracelet after McIntyre pulls it apart. This is definitely the bad blood match. What do you think, AJ?
Well, I'll tell you what, that goddamn Punk... aptly named, he's going to be in for a rude awakening in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, hopefully this is, you know, we continue the tradition of the main events are Hell in a Cells, because I definitely see this being the final match as a Hell in a Cell match between Drew and Punk. Who comes on top? As much as it's going to pain me to
PC
say this,
Sonny always comes on top. All right. Giggity.
Absolutely not.
70% of the time, I come on top all the time.
Jesus Christ. But I think Punk would actually be the one that comes out of this, the rubber match, 2-1.
Taylor Swift looking good tonight in the press, in the suite, in the family suite.
Drawing up the plays. She's drawing up the plays, calling down the plays. She got the headset on.
What? Yeah, did you hear that she's actually interested and they actually drew up a play?
Oh, nope.
The Taylor Swift play? Nope.
Yeah, it was
Swifty.
It was 0-1 trap. It's a running play.
Right up the middle.
Yeah. Hey, give the guy the ball and he runs right here.
I loved this segment. I thought it was perfectly done. Like you said at the beginning, PC, it looked like, yep, he's calling out Gunther. He's ready to go for the title shot. And then we had the WrestleMania moment. Punk gets on top of the announce table and gets tripped up by Drew McIntyre, just like Punk tripped up Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania. Just a nice callback to that. And then the beatdown in the ring. He gets the bracelet back. And then, oh, as I was mentioned before, Tessitore, the great call. Got real animated about that when he ripped the bracelet apart, fed it to CM Punk. It was really great, really well done. And, you know, him, McIntyre, you know, shoving Wade Barrett away, you know, they're telling a decent story there, too, with that, about them being friends, and he's not listening to Barrett at all.
Could this lead to Wade Barrett's return to the ring?
I had that thought, too. Like, is this maybe Wade Barrett getting either just one more match?
Maybe. That could be something. But because if I'm Wade Barrett, and I am... in the position I'm in right now, I'm like, I can do this job for the next 20 years and I'll be able to walk and move and do everything. And I've already done all of that. Like, unless he has legit aspirations of coming back for like 3 to 4 years because he wants a world title, like the one they should have pulled the trigger on him when he was in Nexus, and they blew that and all the other fucking times they took the title away from Cena. What the fuck? But anyway, I would prefer to not see me to get the ring.
This is what I'm going to say, and sadly, I'm going to bring up the other company. If Nigel McGuinness can come back into the ring,
Wade Barrett can come back to the ring.
We know one's saying he can't, but I mean, at this point, it's like, you know what?
Why? You got a great gig, real right. cushy. You don't have to worry about breaking your body anymore. Oh, man, what a deal. And still be involved in these storylines, too, which is really awesome. And then, yeah, but then, you know, at the end, you know, Punk's getting stretchered away. And we get the extra beatdown from McIntyre before he gets in the ambulance, which just kind of led me to believe, or not even believe, but wonder what the match is going to be, because I'm on board with you, AJ. Like, Hell in the Cell, let's keep that tradition going, would be awesome. I've always been calling for a First Blood match. Well, Punk got the, you know, the chiclets down the mouth there with the bracelet and started to bleed there from the mouth. Plus, the ambulance was involved. Stretchers were involved. We could have an ambulance match,
oh,
first
God,
match,
please,
stretcher
no.
match, Hell in the Cell.
No
everything
stretcher,
is on the table.
Ambulance match, none of that. It's either First Blood or it's Hell in a Cell. You pick. And the problem is if it's Hell in a Cell, it has to be last. If it's First Blood, they don't have to put it last. So, but where are they really at with the World Championship? We're going to get to that in a second. But first, I want a quick, just one name. That's this is that we're just predicting who's going to win. Nothing else said about it. Here we go. Jey Uso, Pete Dunne, Ilya Dragunov, Braun Strowman, Intercontinental Fatal 4-Way, number one contender match. Who do you have going on to face Braun Breaker for the Intercontinental Championship and winning this match, AJ?
Yeet.
DP?
Yeet.
PC is going to take Braun Strowman.
All right.
Okay, do we get Sammy versus Gunther? How did you like that segment where Gunther kind of played him off, played him like he's not at my level, but Sammy's right. He ended your last title reign. He's the only one to beat you in WWE. AJ?
Yeah. I don't hate it, but I don't think Sammy's winning that. If it looks like that match is going to happen. So, I don't think Sammy's winning that match just because, yeah, he does have the history, and the only person to beat him on the main roster is what I'm going to say, because we still have, we have Ilya and Braun Breaker on the same brand as...
Well, this is a main roster show.
Yeah, so that's the only thing that I'm going to say. Where
NXT
like,
announcements
Sammy...
for you. NXT debuts in October on CW.
Yep.
The first Tuesday in October, they'll be in Chicago. CM Punk will be there. And the second Tuesday in October, Randy Orton will be there in St. Louis for the two-week debut of NXT on the CW. Hello, Ruby.
No, look at the kid cat.
Yeah, Ruby
you
Satan.
Can't, but we can.
Sorry, AJ,
yeah,
go
I
ahead.
Mean, no, you're fine. And then, you know, going on with NXT, we have Jordan Grace doing a TNA Knockouts Champion Open Challenge on NXT now. We're going to do that. I think that first week we're going to have Julia facing off against Roxanne Perez.
That relationship has been paying off three ways. One, for WWE and its fan, for WWE. Two, for TNA. And three, for the fans of these companies.
Mm-hmm. Which, hey, I'm not complaining. I don't know if you
I think
guys
a better way to
any
say it.
TNA stuff that happened.
I think a better way to say it is on three levels. It's paying off for both companies. It's paying off for all the talent involved, and it's paying off for all the fans. I like that better.
Yep. Yeah, without a doubt, because I'm loving the fact, you know, Joe Henry popping up a lot. Rosemary's now doing some stuff for the women's division. I'm expecting something with Ethan Page and Josh Alexander. That's the one thing that I'm hoping comes out of this. We had the Rascals kind of implode, where Wes is now on his own as a heel, so I'm all for it on the CW for NXT right now. NXTNA, I guess we can call it.
All right, last thought, Sammy Gunther. AJ, did you have a last thought there on Sammy Gunther, or were you done with that already?
It's going to be a good match. I'm going to look forward to it.
You think
it makes sense, Sammy being the one to face Gunther, but Gunther's holding this until at least Mania.
It does have a little bit of a bad blood theme to a title defense there against Sammy, DP.
It really does, and I think it's definitely happening. I mean, why wouldn't you? This was perfectly built in to have this match because Sammy's the only one to beat Gunther and beat him for his title.
So why wouldn't he go after this title too now and try and beat him? I think it's going to be a hell of a match. It will be really good. Obviously, I don't think Sami Zayn's got any chance of winning this thing, like we said, but, you know, should be pretty solid. And that's, yeah, if they put a stipulation on it, maybe fine, but they don't need to, because we already got a reason to believe that Sami Zayn can win this match.
And let me tell you something, folks, the Last Call Lounge, well, it's over. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the 447th edition of the podcast known as DWI. September is the month in which this show was started, and this is the DWI podcast 10th anniversary. Congratulations, Dan. Congratulations, AJ. We've been doing this for 10 years, Dan and I. AJ, you've been with us for how many years have you? 4 fucking years AJ's been with us. Congratulations to you, AJ.
4.5.
Like, just the sheer fact that you've put up with me for 4.5 years. Like, give yourself, pour yourself a double. You know I love you, bud. You know we're so happy always that you're with us. Shout out to Mike Man. Shout out to Chris Platt. Shout out to Dave Ungar. Greg DeMarco. I think Greg and Dave, Dan, and Chris are the only guys to ever host this show besides me. Every guest we've ever had, Kenny Killa. I'm not going to name any more names. I'm sorry. There's like a shit ton. Thank you to
Frank.
Thank you. I'm talking about like everybody we've podcast with. Trust me, there's a lot of people. Everybody that's working with us now on Chairshot Radio Network, you know who you are. You know how much I love you guys. I need to shout out Dave Wirtz / Aesop Mitchell. Listen to The Oddity, please. He's been, like, we met him, like, year one. That, when we started in fall, we met him, like, a month or so later. And he was, just had started at his wrestling school under Frankie DeFalco, who also I need to mention as well. And Max Holiday. So, those are all. Dan, am I missing anybody that we must mention, or did I get them all?
I think you got them all.
All right. AJ, let everybody know where they can find you, sir.
You can follow me all over the social media interwebs at PhenomenalAJB. That's AJB in all caps. And also, let's not forget that we're not just podcast galore. We are articles galore, sports entertainment, especially with football season kicking off right now. We're going to have a lot of things to talk about with football as well. Go check it out, thechairshot.com. You'll have Steve Mitchell, my brother, the IWC War Chief, Andrew Belaz, doing some articles as well. Go check it out on thechairshot.com.
Dan?
Follow me all over those worldwide social media interwebs at It's Me, DPP. And follow this show at Podcast DWI on the Big Fat X and Facebook.com/DWI Podcast.
You can follow me at PC Tunney. You can listen to me on The Oddity, Bandwagon Nerds, Chair Shot NFL, right here on the DWI podcast, the Attitude of Aggression podcast / Big Five Project, and on thechairshot.com presents WWE PLE Immediate Reactions coverage podcast with DJ. Please listen to everything Chair Shot Radio Network. We got everything for you. Sports, entertainment, and sports entertainment. That is the truth, folks. Thanks again for listening. We know you love you. We know we love you. Wait. Say that again, Dan. 5 times fast.
Oh, you know. I know you know. You know, you know, I know, you know. You know what I know?
And if you don't know, now you know.
You know? Yeah. It's 10 years, you know.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated.
CareCare is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Barney Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMePeople, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.